So hello everyone. I'm going to give yet another talk on the title of numbers of spinning black holes, and I'm going to try to clarify some disagreement that clearly has appeared because since I gave a talk last year at Capra, it has triggered some interest. Many papers have came out, and I think it's time to clarify where people agree and where they disagree. I think Hongsheng tried to do that to some extent. So this is based on work done with Mark and Edgardo, which since last year has now been published in those two papers. I invite you to go right to the source if you're interested in understanding the remaining disagreement. And so I will start by basically recapping what's new since last Capra. Last year, essentially, there was some discussion about our use of the method of analytic continuation in the multiple order L in order to identify the piece of the metric perturbation which is due to the tidal field and the piece of the perturbation which is due to the linear response of the black hole. I think that it's fair to say that this method has now been vindicated, at least through the use by other people, in particular, Mikhail and friends in this paper point out that this method is well motivated from an effective field theory point of view. Last year, Walter Goldberger also pointed out that the tidal deformability of Kerr black hole that we had found was most likely related to tidal torquing. And so we studied this. And indeed, as I'm going to show later, we found that the tidally induced quadrupole moments on a Kerr black hole are perfectly compatible with what is known in terms of tidal torquing of spinning black hole as computed already a long time ago by Eric back in 2004. And very importantly also, while initially last year we thought that this tidal deformability was of a conservative and or a dissipative nature, but hopefully we thought there would be some conservative effect. It has now been, I think, convincingly shown by several groups, in particular by Walter and Ira, and also by Mikhail and others, that this effect is in fact purely dissipative. So then it seems like some people are saying the tidal love numbers of black holes are zero, and other people are saying they are not. So do we agree? Do we not agree? I think essentially everybody agrees on the mass, at least in those papers. But there is still some disagreement potentially on the physics. I'm not so sure. But certainly there is disagreement on nomenclature definition. Basically, in the EFT context, it seems like the use of the name tidal love numbers is restricted to something which is purely conservative, while with Mark and Edgardo, we had decided to use a definition of tidal love number in a general relativistic context, which was proposed by Paolo Pagni and collaborators in 2015, and which is compatible with the general definition of tidal love number in Newtonian gravity, for instance, as you can see in the book by Eric Poisson and Cliff Wheel. And so to us, it seemed like a good definition. A tidal love number can have both a conservative component and a dissipative component. And it seems like in the case of a Kerr black hole, it is a purely dissipative component. But I certainly agree with Hongsheng that the important point is not nomenclature, it's the physical effect at the end. And one thing I want to emphasize is that there is a physical effect, which is a tidal deformation, because indeed, if you put a spinning black hole in a tidal environment, there will be a tidally induced quadrupole moment, which I will show in a second. So I'll be quick on the, let's say, the Newtonian theory, because you already had some introduction about love numbers. But so let's imagine you have a non-spinning black hole, mass M, sorry, non-spinning Newtonian body, mass M radius R creates a Newtonian potential. You put it in a quadrupolar tidal environment, it contributes to the potential. Because of that perturbation, it's going to respond, it's going to deform, it's going to develop a tidally induced quadrupole moment, which will be proportional to the perturbing tidal field if the tidal field is weak and slowly varying. And this quadrupolar tidal deformability parameter scales like the fifth power of the radius of the body. And here you have a dimensionless constant, the so-called dimensionless quadrupolar tidal love number. And so the total Newtonian potential can be written like this, where you see the linear response contribution and here the quadrupolar perturbation. You can generalize the argument to a general multipolar order L. You now have a sum. You can expand over spherical harmonics. And so you have the spherical harmonic modes of the tidal perturbation. You see the growing behavior like R to the L of the tidal perturbation and the decaying behavior like R to the minus L minus one of the linear response. If you're interested in curvature quantities like psi zero or psi four, for instance, the expression is really the same in Newtonian gravity. You just have a different prefactor. You're losing two powers of R because it's a curvature quantity. And you know, you expand over spin two spherical harmonics instead of spin zero spherical harmonics because psi zero has spin two. The interesting point I want to emphasize is that now if you add spin to your tidally perturbed body, which I will denote by S, proportional to M squared with a chi, like for a black hole, then the Love numbers depend also on the azimuthal number M. The degeneracy, which happened in the spherically symmetric case, is lifted. And in the limit where the spin is small, you can do an expansion, and you see this sort of Zeeman-type lifting of the degeneracy, which involved the product I, M, chi. Chi is a spin, a measure of spin. And interestingly, if the Love numbers vanish in the non-spinning limit, then the leading term will be purely imaginary. And this is exactly what's going to happen in the case of a curved black hole, as we'll see. So those tidal Love numbers are very important because they encode information about the body's internal structure and composition, if it's a material body, like a neutron star. And of course, for a black hole, they can only depend on the mass and spin. More physics, if you have now dissipation in your Newtonian body, like Hongshan explained, if you have some viscosity, potentially, inside your body, a kinematic viscosity, you will have some dissipative effects. One effect is that the direction of the tidal perturber will not be aligned anymore with the direction, the main directions of the quadrupole moment induced by the perturbing tidal field. There will be a lag, an angular lag, to which corresponds a time lag. At the level of the induced quadrupole moment, that means that the instantaneous response that we showed earlier is now corrected by a term, a retardation, so that the quadrupole moment at time t is directly related to the tidal field at the retarded time t minus tau, where the characteristic time scale tau, the delay, is proportional to the viscosity inside the body. Another related effect is the so-called tidal torquing. Because of that non-zero viscosity, there will be a non-zero rate of change of the spin, which initially, for instance, could be zero, and it will now evolve. And this non-zero rate of change of the spin involves this product, K2 quadrupolar Love number times the characteristic time scale tau related to dissipation. And please keep in mind this product. I will come back to it a bit later to discuss the spinning black hole case. Okay, so now in GR, as we heard, there are two types of tidal moments, electric type and magnetic type, defined out of the Weyl tensor. I won't give more details. What we decide to do to define the Love numbers is as follows. We solve the linearized Einstein equation around the background, G0, which will be taken to be the Kerr metric. We split the linear metric perturbation into two pieces in a way which is unique and unambiguous thanks to this analytic continuation. One which is associated with the tidal perturbation, which is growing. One which is associated with the linear response of the body, which is decaying. And thanks to this linearized solution, vacuum solution of the Einstein equation, we can compute the perturbation to the Gerock-Onsen multiple moments of mass type and current type, here delta M and delta S, induced by the electric type and magnetic type tidal moments. And now we can define four families of tidal deformability parameters, which couple the mass and current type moments to the electric type and magnetic type tidal moments. In general, you also have L-mod coupling. And in the Kerr case at quadrupolar order, in fact, we see that there will be no L-mod coupling and there will be no parity mixing. So How do we investigate Kerr's love? Basically, we put our Kerr black hole of mass M and spin S into a tidal environment characterized by the spherical harmonic modes here, which we take as boundary conditions to solve for the radial Tokolsky equation, asking for smoothness on the horizon. We get psi zero, from which we compute a Hertz potential in closed form, from which we reconstruct the metric perturbation in the incoming radiation gauge. We isolate the linear response contribution to it that allows us to compute the Gerard constant multiple moments at infinity, from which, using the definition I showed, we get the four families of tidal deformability parameters or tidal love numbers. Here's the result.
Minutes.
At quadrupolar order, L equal 2. There is no mod coupling, L prime equal 2 as well. And there is no parity mixing, as you can see. And the two non-zero families involve this product I mentioned, I M chi. Chi is the reduced spin. And this result is valid to linear domain spin, but you can push the calculation to any order you wish. Most interestingly, since we have the tidal love numbers, we can actually compute the induced quadrupole moments themselves and not just the spherical harmonic modes. So we know that in the case of a non-spinning compact body, we have proportionality relationship, just like in Newtonian gravity, right? With just numbers, with a magnetic sector here in GO as well. But if the background is spinning like a Kerr black hole, we need more general tensorial relations, just like here, involving a tidal love tensor. And explicitly using the tidal love numbers, we find that to linear order in the black hole spin vector S, the tidally induced quadrupole moments are non-vanishing. So there is a tidal deformation, and they are given by those formulas here. So can we test this result? Yes, we can, using tidal torquing. Just like a Newtonian body in an electric type quadrupolar tidal field, developing a tidally induced quadrupole moment will suffer tidal torquing. That's the formula I showed in the Newtonian limit. In GR, Thorne and Hartle showed in the 80s that you have the same formula, but with an additional term coming from the magnetic sector. And this is true for any spinning body. So if you take a Kerr black hole, you substitute for M and S, the tidally induced quadrupole moments that we've computed, what do you get? This result here, which turns out to be in full agreement with an independent calculation performed by Eric back in 2004, which is a very strong confirmation that indeed, if you put a spinning black hole in a tidal environment, it will develop tidally induced quadrupole moments. And I want to finish by mentioning a potential link between tidal deformability and horizon viscosity. So it's well known that in the context of the so-called membrane paradigm, a black hole can be seen as a fluid bubble that has some mechanical, thermodynamical, and electrical properties. In particular, it has some surface shear and bulk viscosity, which are given by pure constants. So in a certain sense, a black hole has a viscosity. And Eric showed 10 years ago that if you take all the results about black hole tidal heating and tidal torquing, and you compare to the known physics for a Newtonian viscous fluid, there is a really nice analogy which suggests that you can give to a black hole whose radius will be taken to be the gravitational radius 2m, some non-zero product K2 tau, where remember K2 would be the quadrupolar love number, and tau, this characteristic time scale associated with a viscosity nu for a Newtonian body. So here, K2 nu for a black hole should be of order m, and that's kind of an expected result in a certain sense. But there's something a bit strange about the analogy here, which is that we know that for a non-spinning black hole, the love numbers vanish. You can see it or here, for instance. If the spin is zero, well, the love numbers vanish. If the tidal field is axisymmetric, also m equals zero, they vanish as well. And so we know that K2 is zero for a non-spinning black hole, so that suggests that the viscosity should be, in a certain sense, infinite. While we know that there is a well-defined notion of viscosity, horizon viscosity for a black hole, and we know that there are some well-defined notion of non-zero tidal love numbers for black hole. So I think it would be nice to revisit the analogy with the appropriate notion of love numbers and potentially horizon viscosity, and try to make this analogy even more compelling. And since I'm out of time, I'm going to leave you with my summary, and thank you for your attention.
Okay, we may have time for one quick question. Aaron?
Yeah, just on that last note about the viscosity, I guess I'm confused why you can't draw the opposite conclusion. In other words, the response might be perfect and instantaneous, so there's no tidal torquing in the Schwarzschild case. And you only get a tidal torquing if the tidal field is moving. I mean, why infinite for the viscosity as opposed to, say, no viscosity? You're looking at cases where, you can't see a time dependence.
Well, I guess because the horizon viscosity, at least a well-defined notion of horizon viscosity for a black hole, is not zero. Well, at least those notions of viscosity are universal, irrespective of the spin of the black hole. And another thing I didn't mention, but maybe that's a good occasion to do so. The
Can I ask you
expressions here suggest that the tidal bulge is rotated by 45 degrees with respect to the direction of the tidal field. So that corresponds to a non-zero tidal lag with a finite value, so potentially also a non-zero tau characteristic time scale, which should be of order m. So I think it would be strange that it would be you have a zero time lag or a zero viscosity, even though we seem to find a non-zero time lag, a non-zero angular lag, and there is a well-defined notion of viscosity which is non-zero for a black hole, even for zero vanishing spin.